Me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. We'll be looking at verse 46 through 52. If you're using a Pew Bible, you can find our passage this evening on page 847. Once more, this is Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through the end of the chapter. Let us give our careful attention to the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Mark writes, "And they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Thus far, the reading of God's word. You may be seated. This account that you and I have before us this evening is really a passage here in Mark 10 that is set up to provide a contrast to the passage that has just come before it. To remind you of that previous passage, we looked at it 2 weeks ago there in Mark chapter 10, verse 35 through 45. If you remember that story, there in that account we find the request that is made by James and John to Jesus. And there in their request, they ask that when Jesus enters into his glory, they want to be seated with him, one on his right and one on his left. In this broader context of where we find ourselves in Mark's gospel, you'll note that in the passage, another passage here in Mark 10, prior to the passage I just referenced, we find there for the third time Jesus making known to his disciples that he is going to Jerusalem with a purpose. That as they're making their way towards Jerusalem, he is going there, and as he's told them now, for the third time, he will be beat, mocked, spat upon, handed over with that ultimate purpose to die and then to be raised again. So again, we have a lot of contrasts that are playing out in the passage that we find before ourselves this evening in terms of what has just come prior in this chapter. Hearing that pronouncement that Jesus is going to Jerusalem, as I said, James and John proceed to ask Jesus for a little bit more glory and power. All of this is taking place prior to where we find ourselves this evening at the end of Mark 10. And what we find just prior to our passage is that great hope that you and I have in Christ when he says this in Mark 10, verse 45. Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And it's this statement that stands front and center to the Christian faith. It's this verse that summarizes for us in a very simple yet profound way what the gospel is all about. The gospel is that good news that Christ has come to live and to die, to serve us, to ransom us from sin and death. This is what the good news of the Christian faith is all about. And what we find here tonight in our passage reflects that very thing that Jesus has just said here in verse 45. What we find in our passage tonight is Jesus serving and healing and providing salvation for Bartimaeus. As I have said here in this intro, that this passage really is a contrast to what has come just before it. And this is what we find here when we look at these stories of James and John asking Jesus for glory, and what we find this evening when Jesus here provides this account of healing with Bartimaeus. Now, what I don't want you to take away is that I am just simply painting the disciples of James and John in a negative light. That's not really the case. I don't think that's Mark's intent at all when he compiles the gospel account that we have before us. What I think that Mark is intending to highlight for us, though, is this contrasting element we see in these two encounters with Jesus. Two different sets of questions, two different sort of responses, one with James and John, and then here with Bartimaeus. Again, there's just a little bit of back and forth that we see here in Mark chapter 10. In both of these encounters, the parties involved do seek something from Jesus. With James and John, they want power, prestige, and glory. But with Bartimaeus, what he wants from Jesus is healing. And what you and I find, given the fact that Jesus has explicitly made it clear that he is not only going to die and to be raised, but here what we find is in this action, in this encounter, we come to find this example of how Christ comes to serve Bartimaeus and in turn serve us, his people, as well. And again, we're going to see how in this passage, how both faith and salvation are really at the center of this healing event at the end of Mark chapter 10. So to do this, we're going to look at three points of reflection this evening. We're first going to look at the cry of Bartimaeus. We're going to look at the call of Jesus. And then in our third point, we're going to look at the recovery. In that first point, the cry of Bartimaeus, we're going to look a little bit into Bartimaeus' own context and to see how that really provides a good picture for how you and I interpret this passage. In our second point, the call of Jesus, we're going to see here how Jesus extends his hand of healing in this encounter. In our third point, we're going to look at really how at the center of this miracle, faith in salvation is at work here in Bartimaeus. This account here of the healing of Bartimaeus really, I think, models for us the pattern of the Christian life. It models the gospel for us, in that you and I see how Jesus provides the path for salvation, and then also the response of discipleship grounded in the faith that you and I have in Jesus, the one who heals, saves, and calls us to follow him. So with that, let's look at our first point this evening, the cry of Bartimaeus. All of the healing accounts that you and I find in the Gospels are important. They all show us something about the condition of man, who God is. They are a source of that special revelation of God that we see for us in the Scriptures. So all of the healing accounts that we find with Jesus are important. But what you and I find here in Mark chapter 10, starting here in verse 46, is something that is unique. It's something that's unique not only to Mark's gospel, but all of these synoptic gospels. If you look at the synoptic gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, what you'll find is that this account here, the healing of Bartimaeus, is the only time recorded in the gospel narratives where the one who receives healing from Jesus is named. This is the only time in the Gospels where we have this encounter between Jesus and someone receiving healing where the specific name is given. And in fact, the healing of Bartimaeus here in the final is one of the final, or no, it's the final episode in Mark's Gospel where healing takes place. It marks a transition point for us in his Gospel. As I've said already this evening, that Jesus three times has said that he is going to Jerusalem with a purpose. And what we find here is this final account, this final healing account takes place. We then transition over into chapter 11 where Jesus enters into Jerusalem in that triumphal entry. So here, Mark 10, 46 through 52 really serves as this pivotal moment in Mark's gospel account with this final healing episode. So how do we begin to unpack what's going on here? One commentator summarizes really big picture level what is taking place in this passage. He says this: the story of this blind beggar who ironically sees Jesus more clearly than those with two good eyes is the climax of Mark's teaching on faith and discipleship. What we find over and over as we've worked through, at this point, most of Mark's gospel, we still have chapter 13, we're going to get to that in these coming weeks, but so we've worked through most of Mark's gospel, and what we find over and over is this failure for those who seem to be closest to Jesus. They seem to fail to understand exactly what he is up to, what his earthly ministry is about, and what his life and death, his person and work really entails. And this culminates, of course, with his death and resurrection. But here, with Bartimaeus, we find this great account of irony. The blind beggar, the one who cannot physically see, is able to spiritually see and perceive and understand Jesus for who he really is. This is the contrast that we find at the center of this passage in relation to the one that has come before it. And Mark here is keen to employ this use of irony to showcase the difference between James and John, those who are some of the closest disciples to Jesus. They make up part of that inner circle with John, James, and Peter. So they're in that inner circle with Jesus. To the contrast we find here with Bartimaeus, who cannot physically see, but in a greater sense can see Jesus for his true identity here. That he is, in fact, the Son of David, the one who is able to extend his hand of mercy. So how does this account unfold? We see in verse 46, Mark gives us a set of details here. I'll read it for us once more. Mark writes, and they came to Jericho. And as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. As I said just a moment ago, this is that final transition before Jesus makes his way into Jerusalem, and it's on this final pit stop in Jericho where Jesus and the disciples and the crowd are found here in our passage. So there's a lot that's taking place in this account. We see the normal cast of characters. We see Jesus and his disciples, but what's added on here as they make this stop in Jericho is a great crowd following him. Jesus, the disciples, and the great crowd are really the main cast of characters that we find in this passage. And the other one we find is the figure of Bartimaeus himself. A couple of details to point out here in relation to Bartimaeus. The first thing is his name. As I mentioned, this is the only account in the Synoptic Gospels where we have the one who receives healing from Jesus, his name recorded for us in the text. And then Mark here goes on to translate for us and his readers the meaning of his name. It's kind of an interesting little snippet that he puts in here. Bartimaeus, comma, a blind beggar, comma, son of Timaeus. That's the literal translation of his name. And Mark does this for, I think, one primary reason. It's the fact that his first audience, that first set of original readers, would have been primarily a Gentile audience. They didn't have that Jewish background to understand his name. And so Mark gives us that detail for our understanding. Second thing, the second important thing to note is Bartimaeus' status. If you remember from 2 weeks ago, one of the points I made in that section on James and John's question of Jesus is that really at the center of their question was that heart issue of status. They wanted to ensure that they had a higher status than those around them. And look at the contrast that we find here with who Jesus is extending his hand of healing towards. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar. If James and John are the great insiders of the previous passage, who are asking Jesus for more prestige, more power, more glory, Bartimaeus is the great outsider. And to widen this out even a little bit broader into the context of chapter 10 as a whole, it's in this section of Mark's gospel where you and I find the account of the rich young ruler who has all the perceived moral decency of wealth and status. And there in that stance, he comes to Jesus and says, "Teacher, what must I do to be saved?" This is the question of all seemingly good and decent moral people, because it comes with that preconceived notion that since I am already pretty good, there's probably one or two more things that I need to check off my list in order to be saved. And here in our passage, we find someone who is completely on the outside. No wealth, no status, not the insider vying for more glory, a blind beggar, the literal outcast of society. The third thing to note is the contrast we find with where he sits, this little detail that Mark gives us in verse 46. Where he sits in verse 46 to where we find him in verse 52. In verse 46, Mark states that he is sitting by the roadside. And this continues to illuminate for us this connotation that he is the outsider. He is the other. He is the undesirable. And what we find in verse 52, after this encounter with Jesus, we find that Bartimaeus is now on the way. And we'll return to that in our third point in a little. All of this plays into the context and all of the background that we find in verse 46 that sets the stage for how this encounter begins to unfold in verse 47. Mark writes, "And when he heard, Bartimaeus, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" The cry we find here of Bartimaeus is quite simple. Jesus, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus sees his relation to Jesus properly. He understands who he is asking. He understands the status of whom he is asking and making this request. And from here, we turn to our second point, the call of Jesus. The account before us here, as we look at verse 48, notes that as Bartimaeus is crying out, the crowds don't seem to have a very positive reaction to what's taking place right at first. Many hear this and they're first response is not to hear that there is this outsider, this blind beggar with no wealth, status, the ultimate outsider. Their first response is not to bring him or aid him and bring him to Jesus. What we find here is they tell him to be quiet. They rebuke him. They say, be silent. They essentially say, Jesus is too busy and too important to deal with you and your problems. But the crowds, of course, have Christ all wrong. This is not who our Savior is. Hearing the cry of Bartimaeus, Jesus responds in verse 49. He stops. He calls those around to bring Bartimaeus to himself. And then all of a sudden we find the crowds bringing aid to him. All of a sudden they say, take heart, he is calling you. It's an interesting, now all of a sudden they have changed their tune. So they bring him to Jesus, and here is where again you and I see contrast in this passage. Jesus sees Bartimaeus and hears his request to have mercy on him, and Jesus then goes on to respond in verse 51. What do you want me to do for you? Think about how James and John had just in the previous section come to Jesus with their request. James and John go to Jesus and they say, we want you to do what we ask of you. Jesus here extends this hand of grace and mercy to Bartimaeus, saying, what can I do for you? Bartimaeus responds, Rabbi, I want to recover my sight. As with the previous passage where we are in our gospel account, we again run into expectations that revolve around the appearance of the Messiah. With James and John and their request, their expectation of the Messiah is based primarily in that earthly kingdom of power and glory, and that's the reason why they ask what they ask. But there's another expectation that we find in the Old Testament that comes from the prophet Isaiah that points to the fact that when the Savior appears, he will be one who brings recovery of sight to the blind. There is this Old Testament expectation that the Messiah will bring healing. Isaiah 35 verses 4 and 5, the prophet writes this, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance and with recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Before the eyes of the disciples, before the eyes of the great crowd, and now before the eyes of Bartimaeus himself, this promise of a Messiah to bring the recovery of sight to the blind is now being fulfilled. This leads to our third point, the recovery. Here in our last point, I want us to really focus in on the final verse of this passage, verse 52. So again, we read, and Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Here, as this verse relates to us, the end of this encounter between Jesus and Bartimaeus, we find two themes rising up to the top, faith and salvation. Faith here in that sense that it was the faith of Bartimaeus, the faith that he had in Jesus that has been granted to him as a gift, serves as the instrument of his salvation. The salvation that you and I see here in this passage comes with that phrase that your faith has made you well. That term well can be translated literally as saved. It is faith that has saved you. Faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of David. Faith in the one who has mercy upon us. Faith in the one that says, I am going to give my own life as a ransom for many. And the response to this recovery and salvation that's given to Bartimaeus by faith is seen when he now gets up and he follows Jesus. Remember where Bartimaeus starts off at the beginning of this passage. He's there beside the road. And now he is on the way with Jesus. No longer an outsider. No longer the other of society, but an insider, one whom Jesus has sought and brought in. Jesus has healed and restored him. And one commentator summarizes it this way. The difference in his position beside the road and at the beginning of the story and on the road at the end of the story signifies the difference between being an outsider and an insider, a bystander or a disciple. My friends, this is the pattern that you and I see in the gospel. This is a pattern of how the gospel comes to us and then reshapes us because of what Christ has done for us. You and I are outsiders apart from what Christ has done. You and I, due to sin, are outside, alienated from God, under God's curse and wrath apart from Christ. But because of the grace of God in Christ Jesus applied to us by faith alone, by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit, you and I are brought in, forgiven, redeemed, saved, reconciled, transferred from that kingdom of darkness now into the kingdom of God's beloved Son. As grace comes to us, as Jesus' hand of healing comes to us, it's from that place where we rise, we get up, and now we follow. The question I'll leave you with here this evening is, where are you in relation to Jesus? Are you beside the way? Or are you on the way with Jesus? If you are beside the way, if you're looking in, asking questions, seeking, you're skeptical, the application from this passage is very simple. Turn to Christ. Receive what Christ has done. If you are on the way, if you are following Jesus, for those who have received the good news of the gospel, remember that our story is just like that of Bartimaeus. It is the Holy Spirit that has opened our eyes to see and perceive Jesus for who he really is. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that has opened our own eyes to see our desperate need for a Savior that comes to us only by faith. As we close here, stay on the road. Stay on the road with Jesus. Continue to follow him, to serve him, and love him, because remember, this is the Savior who says to us, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. Stand with me as we pray this evening. Our great and gracious God, we thank you that your word comes to us to show us who Christ is, that he is the God who not only says that he will die on behalf of his people, but he is the God who brings us who are outsiders in so that we might find healing. Lord, we do pray that by your Spirit you would continue to apply your word to our hearts, that we might have ears to hear and eyes to see what it is that you have to say to us through your word. And as we come to your word made visible to us, we pray that your spirit would prepare our hearts to feast on Christ by faith. We pray all this in his name. Amen. As we prepare